Welcome back to the deep dive. So if last time we were looking at that critical spark that gets us moving, what we call nodal desire, today we're firing up the whole engine room.
That's a great way to put it.
We're diving deep into the second of these creative powers, courageous energy.
That's right. If noble desire is that initial commitment, the aspiration, then courageous energy, or viriya as it's known, is the fuel. It's the propulsion you need for the actual journey.
So it's the difference between saying, I want to go there, and actually, you know, moving your feet.
Precisely. It's the difference between having the best intentions in the world and translating them into sustained, meaningful action.
Okay, so let's frame this journey. We're navigating using the principles from the RAFT program. It's our map, really.
It is. And for anyone diving in with us, RAFT, and that's pronounced just like the word raft, it's an acronym.
Right. And it stands for?
It stands for Recognize, Abandon, Freedom, and Train. We're basically exploring the tools we need to build that raft to get us across these, you know, difficult waters.
Towards that safe shore of freedom.
Exactly.
So noble desire was the first power, that commitment to even start paddling. What's the specific role of courageous energy then?
It's the steady power. Uh-huh. It's the dependable energy you need to actually cross the water. I mean, think about it. You can want to reach the shore more than anything.
But if you're exhausted, you're not going anywhere.
You're just drifting. And you often drift right back into those strong currents of craving or just apathy. Courageous energy is the persistent paddling, even when it feels like you're standing still.
That sounds like it requires some serious commitment. And the philosophy in this chapter, it sets an almost impossibly high bar. I'm thinking of that quote from Gautama, the Buddha. It's incredibly intense.
Oh, it is. It's a powerful, almost brutal statement of will. He says, let only my skin, sinews, and bones remain. Let my flesh and blood dry up. I shall not give up my effort as long as I have not attained what can be attained by human strength, energy, and effort.
Wow. But wait a minute. That sounds less like sustainable energy and more like a recipe for immediate burnout.
I see what you mean.
How do we square that kind of brutal intensity with the need for balance for the middle way that these teachings are all about?
That's the crucial question, isn't it? The quote, I think, sets the historical context for the intensity of the commitment. It's not the method. It's about the priority of the goal.
Okay, so it's about how important it is, not how you should feel while doing it.
Exactly. And the teachings immediately temper that by defining the quality of the effort. True viriya isn't frantic striving. It has two core qualities.
Which are?
First, courage. I mean, it takes real courage just to face your own discomfort, to challenge those deeply ingrained habits.
And just to admit you're vulnerable.
Yes. You need courage just to see yourself clearly, which is the very first step of the RAFT program to recognize.
It reminds me of what Maya Angelou said, something like, courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently.
That's it. It's the foundation. You can't be patient or kind or honest if you don't have the courage to face what's difficult.
And the second quality?
Persistence. This journey is a marathon of small daily choices. It's not one big heroic sprint.
Right.
Persistence is that grit that keeps you coming back to skillful choices day after day, long after that initial motivation has faded.
I really like the perspective from Martine Batchelor, the Buddhist teacher. She says that courage is, of course, about going beyond our usual patterns, but it's also about, and I love this, suddenly thinking that this is possible.
Yes.
That just shifts the feeling, doesn't it? From a grinding effort to this excitement of seeing a new path open up.
And that sense of possibility is built on consistent effort. You have to find where you push too hard or maybe where you hold back too much. That's all part of recognizing how things really are.
So we need courage to start and persistence to continue. But if we paddle too hard, we snap the oars. This brings us right to balance. How do we keep this up without tipping into burnout?
Balance is everything. This is where the genius of the ancient teachings really shines. Courageous energy has to be tuned skillfully to be sustainable.
It's the middle way.
It's the middle way. It's walking the path without exhausting yourself or, on the other hand, just becoming complacent.
And this, of course, is where we get Gautama's famous analogy, the one about tuning the lute.
It's the perfect illustration, isn't it? If the lute string is too tight.
It snaps.
It snaps. And that's anxiety, burnout, self-criticism. But if the string is too loose,
it just makes no sound. It's just dead.
Exactly. Dead. That's inertia, apathy, procrastination. Skillful effort is finding that sweet spot, that middle path where the sound is clear and harmonious.
You know, there's that phrase from the monastics at Wat Swan Mok. that just captures it perfectly. Not too Sergeant Major and not too mashed potato.
It's brilliant. It's so vivid.
It is. It's a great mantra for daily life.
And it reminds you that sustainable change, it thrives on regular, manageable efforts. Small daily things. Not these sporadic, white-hot bursts of intensity.
So a few minutes of mindfulness every day or consistently showing up to a support meeting.
Yes. Those small, consistent actions overcome unwholesome states much more effectively than one single huge effort ever could.
Okay, so once we have that finely tuned balance, that sort of Goldilocks amount of effort, where should we point it? We can't just paddle in circles.
Absolutely not. The RAFT program directs our energy towards what it calls the four resolves, or right effort. This is where it all becomes very practical.
Let's break those down, because they're a bit more nuanced than just do good things, avoid bad things.
They are. The first resolve is preventing unwholesome states from arising in the first place. This takes a ton of energy. It's proactive.
So it's about setting up safeguards, managing your environment, being clear about your commitments.
Yes, before the difficulty even hits. Then the second resolve is for when they do hit. It's abandoning harmful patterns once they've already arisen.
And this connects right to the IA and RAFT.
Directly. And this is often the hardest part. It's where you feel the most inner resistance. It takes immense courage to consciously drop an old habit.
So after preventing and abandoning, we focus on building something new.
Exactly. The proactive side. The third resolve is cultivating wholesome states. Actively growing things like kindness, patience, gratitude. It's not just the absence of the bad, it's the presence of the good.
And the final one.
Maintaining wellness goals once you've achieved them. This is the persistence we talked about. The daily work that prevents you from sliding back and ensures you stay stable.
So every ounce of this courageous energy should be channeled into one of those four things.
That's the idea. It reframes effort from just fighting problems to this proactive project of cultivation.
Which leads to freedom, the F in RAFT.
It does. It changes the whole dynamic.
Okay, let's pivot to application. What happens when we hit a huge wave? A big challenge, a difficult emotion, an intense craving. How do we apply this energy then without getting all Sergeant Major?
That's key. The teachings are really clear that skillful energy is not about aggressively fighting those challenges. Aggression just drains you.
And it probably makes the thing you're fighting stronger.
Often, yes. It's about meeting them. The cravings, the setbacks, the emotions, with fearlessness and persistence. It's about accepting the mud, not trying to run away from it.
Viewing setbacks not as failures, but as plot twists.
Yeah.
Opportunities to learn something.
That's a great phrase for it. Plot twists. And Thich Nhat Hanh gets right to the heart of this. He says, no mud, no lotus. Without suffering, there's no happiness. Don't run away from your suffering. Embrace it and transform it.
And Viktor Frankl, the philosopher, he said something powerful about this too, right? That when you can't change a situation anymore, you're challenged to change yourself.
Yes. And that self-change, he said, requires heroic inner effort, which is precisely what courageous energy is.
So for listeners who are thinking, okay, this sounds great, but how do I actually do this?
Yeah.
The RAFT program offers a really practical weekly plan, way to practice tuning the lute every day.
We can walk through those steps because they really take it from a big idea to a daily routine. Day one starts with an energy audit.
An audit, so a ruthless review of where your energy is actually going.
Exactly. Physical, emotional, mental energy. And you ask yourself a simple question. What activities drain me and what activities replenish me?
I think people would be surprised by the answer to that. We think it's the big tasks, but so often it's the quiet stuff like worry or endless scrolling that just drains the battery.
You're so right. Then, once you have that audit, day three is about mindful effort scaling. This is the lute analogy in practice.
So consciously paying attention to how much effort you're using.
Yes, especially for a task you dread or a commitment you feel like dropping. The reflection is, did I overdo it and get tense? Or did I undercommit and feel slack? What's the tiny adjustment that would bring me into balance?
And then on day four, you apply that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to face a challenge courageously. You pick something uncomfortable and approach it with presence and resolve.
This is how you build the muscle. You test the lute string in a real world situation. Are you snapping it? Is it too loose? You learn your own internal settings.
And finally, day seven, you log your momentum, which might sound simple, but writing down a record of steady effort is really important.
It is. And it's not just about celebrating big wins. It's about noting the consistent attempts, that logging builds self-efficacy.
Ah, the psychological belief in your own ability to get things done.
Yes. When you see written proof that you've been persistent, it strengthens that core belief that you can keep going. It makes that possibility Martine Batchelor talked about feel real.
So we've connected this ancient wisdom to some really practical steps. Let's synthesize this now. What does modern science have to say about this kind of sustained, balanced effort?
Well, modern research strongly validates this whole philosophy. Neuroscience, for example, shows that consistent, balanced effort literally strengthens neural pathways in the prefrontal cortex, the PFC.
Which is our brain's executive function center, right?
Yeah.
The CEO of the brain.
Basically, yes. The PFC is what's responsible for sustained focus, for impulse control, emotional regulation, and resilience.
So by practicing this, you're literally building a stronger brain for this journey.
You're making the part of your brain that supports long-term freedom more efficient. And in psychology, you see echoes of courageous energy everywhere.
Like in DBT, dialectical behavior therapy.
Absolutely. DBT puts a huge emphasis on distress tolerance and balanced effort. You have to practice enduring difficulty with a middle way mindset.
And you can't talk about persistence without mentioning Angela Duckworth's work on grit.
Of course. She defines it as passion and perseverance for long-term goals. If noble desire is the passion,
then courageous energy is the perseverance, the follow through.
It's a perfect modern echo of an ancient teaching. And you see it in philosophy too, virtue ethics, stoicism. They all conclude that skillful, sustained effort is the engine of meaningful change.
This has been a really comprehensive look into the engine room. Courageous energy, the second essential power, provides the momentum. And the key is just never forgetting the wisdom of that lute string. Finding the balance between breaking and making no sound at all.
And before we wrap up, we should definitely mention again that the RAFT to Freedom workbook, which has all 66 chapters of this, is written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen.
Right, and they're making the entire thing freely available online.
They are. You can find the entire program at rafttofreedom.org.
So as you go forward and think about these ideas, we want to leave you with a question to ask yourself. In your personal journey to freedom, do you tend toward overexertion, burnout, frustration, or do you lean the other way, toward underexertion, lethargy?
And what's just one small, skillful adjustment you could make tomorrow to find that steady middle way balance?
Remember, the goal isn't to change everything at once. It's just to keep showing up.
Courage is quiet. It's built over time.
And with that, we'll leave you with this final thought. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, "I will try again tomorrow."